Welcome to worship, everyone, on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We're so glad that you are in the house of the Lord. We're so grateful today that we can celebrate who God is. So we're going to start out with a call to worship, please let's read responsively. I'll just be the leader, and you can be the people. How does that sound? And all right, this comes from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Everyone, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. All right, good job.
Friends, would you stand and let's worship the Lord together.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing, now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name, He forgets not His own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom oil line. So from the beginning, the bride we were winning, fell others at our side, all glory be
Lord, we do come and we ask that You would bring us to mind, that You would bring to our mind all the good things that You've done for us so that we can be truly grateful. You are our Creator and Redeemer. You are the one who leads and guides us, the one who sustains us each and every day. To You we bring our worship, for You are worthy to be praised. Use these moments we spend together to help us to become more like you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are aware that we're involved in something so much bigger than we have any idea. When we look back on this year, when we look back on how you've worked in our lives through this church and through the many people that you've put here, we give you thanks, Lord, and grateful praise for the fact that you have been at work in and through all the circumstances. We thank you for the valleys, Lord, because that's one we have known that you've walked by our side. And we thank you, Lord, for the mountaintops, because that's when we've been able to see the great vista, the great plan that you are working out in our lives and in the lives of people we love and care for. Lord, give us that inner sense of gratitude that you've called us to have, that no matter where we are or what circumstances bring, we know that you are good. We know that you've given us this church and the people of God God to encourage us on our way, and we know that no matter what happens, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from your love, which is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Listen to a psalm of David, Psalm 103, where we give thanksgiving for God's goodness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him, for he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yes, I know my jacket is inside out. This is intentional because I want you to leave this time remembering one thing, if nothing else. Remembering that Psalm 103, the psalm of thanksgiving that Todd just read, is an inside-out psalm, right? It comes from the very innards of who David is. This psalm is an overflowing song of joy that from deep within David is like a well springing up and bubbling over joyfully, just explodes onto the page in song. There is nothing forced or put on in this psalm. It's not like he's trying to force himself to be grateful. It comes out of the inner parts of who he is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, every part of me, bless his holy name. That's gratitude, right? You can't force it. So Psalm 103 is genuine. It's the real deal. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And David's heart is full of gratitude here. So as we think about gratitude today and thanksgiving, I want you to think about your life for a minute as a picture, as a P piece of art that God has given you to live. It's sort of like an amazing Rembrandt, perhaps. It's something that he's handed you. He's handed you your life, and he's asked you to buy the frame. Now, my daughter's an artist, and she'll draw pictures, and when she gives me permission to frame them, we spend hours in Michael's or in Aaron's Brothers trying to pick out the exact right frame for this picture that she's drawn, because, as you know, the frame enhances the picture, right? The piece of art. In the same way, I would suggest that the best frame that we can put around this gift of life freely given to us is the frame of gratitude. The frame of gratitude. We all know people who are grateful, live longer, forgive better, have more friends, stay healthier, and are more likely to succeed than those who grumble along the way. But this gratitude, this praise of God, cannot just be a superficial thank you for stuff we have. It's got to stem from a relationship with God that we are so taken with our Creator, like that anthem so well described, that we do an inside out. It's an inside out. All that is within me, expression of utter praise, as David expresses it here. All that is within me says, I can't contain it. It's bubbling over, this sense of thanksgiving for who you are, Lord, your nature. My gratitude to you, O God, is overwhelming. And all that is within me erupts in praise for your goodness, your love, your blessing. The Orthodox Jew, you know how many times they were supposed to thank God? 100 times a day. 100 times a day. That means if you live for 24 hours in each day, you will be thanking God 4 times an hour every hour, even when you are asleep. Imagine that. Why did God make the Jews say thank you 100 times every day? I think it's because God wants gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving to form the frame of our lives. Gratitude is meant to be the thing that holds everything together for the Christian and allows what we live to be displayed with joy. Gratitude is a form of joy, right? So I can't get up here and tell you to be grateful. You know, if you're not grateful, as much as I can't tell you to be full if you're hungry, right? Gratitude is an attitude. It's an attitude of the heart. It comes from a sense of abundance. It stems from a sense of being cared for and loved. It stems from a sense of security and peace. Gratitude comes from having experienced undeserved grace. And David was definitely one of those people, because he had messed up quite a bit. We think this was written later in his life. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And he's here saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. Bless the Lord for his goodness. Now notice here, this is so important, what David is grateful for here. It's not material blessings. David is filled with gratitude in Psalm 103 for who God is, not for what David has. And, you know, and friends, at this time in our world, with all the chaos and violence and all the fear going on, you know, sometimes it's hard to be thankful, to be grateful. But the thing is, God's nature is constant despite all the corruption around us. It is He who will see us through, and His nature is to be praised no matter what happens. He stays the same. He's the constant. Now, I don't know what you do at Thanksgiving time, but we have this tradition where we go around the table, you know, and we say what we're thankful for as the gravy coagulates, you know, in the bowl and the turkey gets. So anyway, we do this. And I often, when we go around the table, people say something like, and there's nothing wrong with this, I'm thankful for my new iPhone, or I'm thankful for friends and family, or I'm thankful for my house and my new job. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We need to be thankful and grateful for those things. But then I get to thinking, are we grateful that God has blessed us more than the other person down the street who doesn't have an iPhone, or who can't afford a house, or those who may feel isolated at this time of year and don't have friends and family. So sometimes when we do this, I start to think, am I grateful that God has blessed me more than the other person down here who doesn't have what I have? But what I love about this psalm is that Psalm 103 talks about a benefits package that includes everyone. You know, everyone can know this wonderful God. And David sings from his heart about being thankful for who God is. And because of who God is, because of the nature of God, the benefits package that comes with connecting to God is amazing. And David, in his inside out prayer here in Psalm 103, says, forget not, don't forget. Don't forget. Now, we may be forgetting a lot of things depending on how old we are, right? But don't forget this. Don't forget this. What this universal benefits package that is available to everyone when you sign on the dotted line to be a part of God's family is. Now I'm sure many of you have cards and policies and memberships that have certain benefits, right? And I'm always forgetting what my benefits are. My car got stalled the other day and I'm part of AAA, but I forgot that one of the benefits of being part of AAA is I get free towing. Yay, right? So I could have him tow my car to the garage that I wanted to go to. But I'd forgotten my benefit, right? And David said, don't forget the benefits. Don't forget, forget not the benefits. And what are they? What are they? Well, the first one is forgives all your iniquity. It's God's nature. What a God. He delights to forgive us. Not just some of our not so bad sins, but notice all of them forgiven. And that's what David's so grateful for, because as I said, he'd messed up quite a bit. Forget not all his benefits. Forgives all your iniquity. David was so grateful that even the worst of the worst could be forgiven. Two, part of the benefits plan, heals all your diseases. Maybe in this life, maybe in the next, but what a God always moves us. The nature of God is he always moves us toward healing. This is his nature. When you get a cut on your hand, it's bleeding. It moves toward healing on its own. It starts to heal up. God created us this way. His nature is such that he moves us toward healing and wholeness. That's who God is. And David is inside out grateful for this. In fact, biblical scholars think that some of the language used here, that David himself has just recovered from an illness. And you know how happy you are when you can finally get out of bed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, who heals all your diseases. So that could well be what's happening. Third benefit, redeems your life from the pit. God's nature is to redeem. How many of you have a story like that? I know a lot of you do. You said to me, I was at my lowest ebb, and I found out that when I couldn't anymore, God could. God could. God constantly pulls us up and out when we can't climb out on our own. And I always think, God, you care about me? You want to rescue me? You got to be kidding. Who am I that you, God of the universe, would pull me out of a pit? But David is inside out thankful to God because he knows this God, for whatever reason, specializes in pulling people out of all kinds of pits that they can't get out of on their own. And if you think about it, too, this is shepherd's language, right? The language is shepherd language. David was a shepherd and pulled many sheep out of pits. You know, with the other side, he turned the crook of the shepherd upside down, reached down to that pit, pull up a lamb. And he's thinking, God does this for me too. Another benefit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good. Everything that truly satisfies us, I believe, has the nature of God in it. Whitfield said long ago, the heart was made for God, and only God can meet it. And that is so true. This inside-out psalm of thanksgiving comes from that inner sense of God's presence, of being satisfied deep within. And David had that. And then he says something interesting. He says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? How is an eagle's youth renewed? Well, David was an outside kind of a guy when he was younger because he was a shepherd. And eagles, I'm sure he observed that eagles have certain periods in their lifespan when they molt. And this is, according to biblical scholars, this is what he's referring to. Now, there's an eagle who's molting. And it looks like me in the morning before coffee. My perennial addiction, right? Okay, I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I know I have. And when old, tattered, or too small feathers fall out, though, the new ones then come in. And so from there, there is this transformation of the eagle when those feathers fall out. And there you go. You might say, that doesn't look like the same bird, right? But the new feathers have come in. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's like a different bird, doesn't it? It's a beautiful, beautiful transformation. What a great visual image. Don't forget your benefits package in God, David says. It's universal. Everyone can have these things when they are connected to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for us, it's the God of Jesus Christ. Well, I wish I could walk you through every verse of this psalm explaining this benefits package. It's like a manual explaining with passion and joy from the inside out all the great things that happen as a result of being connected to this wonderful, wonderful God. If you look at the psalm, David uses the whole universe, in fact, to describe the vastness of God's goodness. He says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love on those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. So do me a favor today, if you're holding on to guilt from sin, don't. If you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, you are forgiven. God is not interested in your guilt. God wants your thanksgiving, your praise to him for his goodness, not your navel-gazing despair. That goes nowhere. Praise and thanksgiving pulls us up and out of ourselves to look up and recognize who it is we worship, who it is we serve. God is so good, friends, and he never changes. And his love for us is as vast as the space between heaven and earth. And David is saying to us through these words, get in touch with how big God is today. His goodness is bigger and better than what you think. Bigger than the earth, broader than the horizon, wider than the sky. And be thankful because you belong to him and you are known by him. Sometimes our God gets too small and we forget how much we have in him. We forget our benefits and we lose gratitude. So let's just take a few lines from the rest of this psalm, and you respond. This is another one of those things that might be kind of hard, but it's called a responsive reading. I'm going to say the first part, and you can respond, all right? So this is the rest of the psalm, Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And you say, the Lord's steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to children's children. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So maybe this Thanksgiving, when you go around the table, if that's what you do, and you say, what are you thankful for? Maybe you can think of an attribute of God that you're thankful for. Maybe instead of saying, I'm thankful for this or that, a material blessing or something in your life, you can say, I'm grateful because God is so good. I'm grateful for his forgiveness. I'm grateful for his wonderful care. I'm grateful because he's pulled me out of a pit when I was down. I'm grateful that my sins are forgiven. Because, friends, that's the universal benefits plan. Now, one last word. I know that when things go wrong, thanksgiving and gratitude are not always the first things on our lips or in our hearts. And that's where we get tripped up. We forget gratitude. We lose hope. We give into less than what God has for us. But if when problems come and detours happen and my plans get thwarted, I can still keep that frame of gratitude and praise around my life, I can still wake up in the morning and declare with assurance from an inside-out place of genuine joy, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. I can do that if I can remember who God is in and through it all. And I can dare to hold on to trusting him and his goodness, believing in that more than what I see around me, because that never changes. So we have a wonderful story to share with you from Tom and Lorraine Mancebo. And as they come up and as Bob gets the microphone here, we want to share this with you. I thought it was a great Thanksgiving story. And this story starts out when Lorraine's daughter and son-in-law feel a real calling from God to adopt a child in the Ukraine. And I'm going to let them tell you that story. But I want you to know that the only reason that slide is up there this morning is that this couple continued to believe in God's goodness and faithfulness, and they were assured of his call on their lives to do this. No matter how many doors were shut in their face, they didn't forget God's benefits in this long ordeal. They did not doubt his call on their life. So that's why that picture is there. And Tom and Lorraine, would you please share with us?
In the summer of 2014, our daughter Becky and her husband Brett, independently of each other, felt strongly that they were to adopt a child. They already had three sons, 16, 19, and 22. The nest was almost empty, but the message continued to prevail. In family discussion, 16-year-old Noah suggested the child should be a girl for mom, and their plans began to form. They settled on Ukraine, where they understood children had medical issues that were fixable in the United States. They were drawn to a 10-year-old Karina with cleft palate on the adoption website, and then began the paperwork to begin adoption. Becky began to decorate a little girl's bedroom beautifully and to study Ukraine. Problem, U.S. approval took adopt the approval to adopt took 6 months. Then papers were rejected by Ukraine. Black ink instead of blue. The embassy intervened.
The end of August, Becky, Brett, and Noah were ready to go to Ukraine, but another problem. They learned that another Christian family had put in for Karina and were scheduled to meet her before Becky and Brett arrived. They left, anyway, with hearts and minds open, believing God would show them what to do. And the fun began. The flight into Frankfurt was 2 hours late landing, and their connecting flight to Kiev had just taken off. They were rerouted to Prague. New problem. Arriving in Prague, they learned the airline had downsized their confirmed seats to Kiev and rescheduled them for the next day. Problem, their luggage had gone on to Kiev, and their traveling credit card had been compromised. Someone was traveling to Singapore on their dime. The solution, go to Marriott's for a good night's sleep without their luggage and call home for prayer support. Flying into Kiev the next morning, they had an appointment to begin processing the Ukrainian paperwork, meet the translator and guides, and meet with the Ukrainian adoption agency for permission to adopt. Problem. They were 4 days traveling in their sweats, and their baggage was missing. Stores opened at 10 o'clock. Their appointment was at 11. Still, no baggage. Becky only had time to buy 3 white dress shirts that she combined with their sweats. They discovered in the meeting that out of the list of over 100 children, they would only be allowed to meet with three. There was one possibility for a girl living in a small town in the Carpathian Mountains. The baggage arrived, and they took a day by train to meet Elvira. Problem. Becky's heart longed for Karina. Brett was very much taken by Elvira, and Elvira didn't want to leave the orphanage, hoping that her mother would come. Still, when God calls us to do something, he does not let us down. The right child would come. By this time, Brett was saying, God is driving this bus. It turns out that their guide located a girl at an orphanage in Balta. Here, they found 13-year-old Svetlana, a perfect fit for them, the right one. They all agreed, and so did she. Prayer continued. As adoption progressed, Svetlana wanted them to give her a new name. They demurred, but she explained to them, when a baby is born, the mama and the papa choose a name for her. And Svetlana wanted her mama and papa to choose a name for her because she would be their child. They did. She became Sophia Elisa Lennon. Brett returned home for work. Becky and Sophia remained in a hotel room, unheated due to the war with Russia, for 2 more weeks. Then they were able to leave on their way home. Problem. Their plane had navigational system problems, so was delayed 12 hours for repair. So they missed their connection in Amsterdam for the U.S. The new flight from Amsterdam was delayed several hours, waiting for an available landing gate in New York City. Altogether, this airline trip took 69 hours from the Ukraine to Tucson.
Sure. Becky and Sophia arrived home this past Wednesday. It took them 15 months, including 2.5 months in Ukraine, prayers of 4 churches, and many, many problems to be resolved. But we can now welcome our 15th grandchild into our family, Sophia Elisa Lennon. Praise God. God caused this adoption to happen and was faithful to them as each step unfolded. We are grateful for our new granddaughter and to God for his faithfulness to us as we follow him. Praise the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much that we can be thankful with the Mancebos for this new granddaughter that has come to them. And thank you for the faithfulness of their daughter and son-in-law who continue to believe in your goodness and your call, even though circumstances seem to dictate otherwise. Give us that kind of faith, Lord, to look up and trust you and to forget not all your benefits. In Jesus' name, amen. During the next song, what we'd like you to do is to find that post note in your bulletin. And what we'd like you to do is to write something on that post note that you are grateful for, but have it be an attribute of who God is. So, for instance, you might put on the post note, I'm grateful for God's faithfulness in my life. I'm grateful for God's call, that he never lets me down. Those are the kinds of things. That's the universal benefit plan that we've been talking about this morning. During the next hymn, we invite you to come forward, put that post note on the cross, and be thankful. The most wonderful thing is the cross, right? We're grateful to God that he would sacrifice his life for us. And that's why it's so beautiful to see all these thanksgivings on the cross of Christ. What we'll do is we'll compile these for you and we'll post them for you next Sunday, and we'll scroll through them. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, and you can see all the thanksgivings that you've put up here to our wonderful God. Would you rise for the benediction? May the God who gave himself to us in Jesus Christ, and who told us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from his love, go with you today. Fill your heart with gratitude and help you to know that he walks with you every moment. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.